Some time ago, I mentioned in the church a song that became very popular. And contained in that song were these lyrics. Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I believe I can say today that when we have a self-evaluation of ourselves like that, that we can also say that not only is it hard to be humble, but I find it very hard to be honest. When we look at this man, this Pharisee, who was standing in the temple, we find that he wasn't very humble and he truly wasn't very honest. And so it seems like these two words have a very close connection. Jesus tells this story about two people. Both of them religious in their own way. And both of them was drawn to the temple for one purpose. For the purpose of prayer. I don't know how often that you folks come to the house of God here to pray. But I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you have a lot on your heart. And you can drive by this building here and come in and just commune with God until your heart feels lighter. I believe the greatest thing that draws us to the house of God today is to worship and to pray to a God who hears and answers. And we see these two men, we know one of them, a very strict, devout Pharisee, who was devoted not only to the church and the duties of it, but he was also devoted to family and to community. The other man was a tax collector, and I don't know your vocabulary concerning them today, but back in the time of Jesus Christ, there was a few other choice names that he was called. A shyster, a traitor, a dirty money grabber. Probably a lot of other names that I wouldn't mention if I knew them. We know today why that Pharisee was there. I mean, the Pharisees gathered in the temple many times during the week. Especially on Monday and Thursday was a day of prayer. But they gathered there for sacrifice and they gathered there to worship. And some of them had a regular schedule that they were in the house of God praying, or when others would come in, they would pray with them or answer their questions, and so they spent much time in the temple. So we know why he was there. But this tax collector, there's kind of a mystery about why was he there in the first place. There's a possibility that maybe he was there because maybe he had some event take place in his life, or maybe in the lives of some of his family, we're not told. Maybe there was a birth and he was there for the dedication and happened to be there. Or maybe someone he knew, someone in his family were getting married and had gotten married and he stayed over. Or maybe there was a funeral and he thought it right to go there. And just maybe, he had considered his life and felt that he meant to have a change in it. Maybe he had had an experience what someone had said, and he decided to go to the temple because that's where all people should go that want to be good. And you know, it is not very odd, because it's not unusual for those who are not very religious to come to the house of God either to be hatched, either to be matched, or to be dispatched. And so we find them many times in the house of God, but this man remained in the temple And regardless of what reason that he was there for, he was there. And he was in a very genuine attitude of prayer. You know, some folks say, I pray all the time. Do you have a genuine attitude when you pray? Do you approach God speaking to an individual or just speaking? You say, preacher, that's plumb dumb. Yeah, I know it. I know it is. And that's why the Bible says that the Pharisee prayed within himself. But here was a man who stands now in the temple next to this Pharisee. And he is so sincere that he begins to talk out loud. The last look of them as they gather for prayer. The Pharisee said, Lord, I thank you. Now, folks, if there's anything that we children of God should go to God for, the first thing we ought to do is thank God. For I say to us today that every one of us who are children of God have many things to be thankful for. But let's wait just a minute. Let's look at this man and see what he was really thankful for. He tells us himself. He said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not an extortioner. I thank you that I'm not an idolater. I thank you that I'm not an unjust man. And God, I even thank you that I'm not like that tax collector. My goodness. Humility, humility. Clothe them. The lack of humility that says unto God, I believe I'm all right. Many times we find ourselves praying like that. I heard a man say today, this morning, in a message that he was talking to a young girl who came for counseling. Somebody gets home. And in this counseling, he said he talked to this young girl, and she said, I want to confess that I have a boyfriend. I said, that's not bad. A lot of girls have boyfriends. But I want to confess that every time we go out, we have a sexual relationship. But I want to say something to you, she said. We always end with prayer. And the pastor said to her, you end with prayer? Well, what do you pray for when you end with prayer? And she said, we always pray together the prayer of repentance. God is not a God who we do what we want habitually anytime we want. And when we go to God, he has a rope around his neck that we pull into him and said, you're God, you have to forgive. We see our actions many times as pleasing, maybe not to God, but pleasing to us. And when we do fail, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. Here was a Pharisee that went into the temple every day of the week, probably. A sect of very religious, very dedicated, and yet he stands before God and tries to justify himself for the way he lives. And so he lays his life before God as if God doesn't know him for an examination, and he says something like this, look at me, God. I'm all right. I'm not no extortioner. You never see me go out and commit idolatry. I never treated any man too unfair. And not only that, but look who's standing over yonder. A no good money-grabbing, filthy tax collector. Now I'm paraphrasing, folks, you won't find that in your Bible. And so, he begins to lay it out as he continues there. And I begin to wonder today if he prayed. When he comes to the latter part of his prayer, he says, that tax collector, I wonder if he was relating his comment to God Or was he relating them to the tax collector? But here today, here at Kincaid, Illinois, in 1989, let's give this Pharisee the benefit of the doubt, okay? Let's say today that maybe he wasn't claiming perfection. Maybe he was just saying to God in some way. Maybe he was suggesting from God, God, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm a lot better than some other folks I know, including the tax collector. You ever hear that before? Sound familiar? Did you ever hear anybody say, I'm just as good as so-and-so? At least I'm not doing what so-and-so's doing. At least I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not pretending, my friend. There's something about all of us here today. You don't have to tell God about you. He already knows you better than you know yourself. I don't have to call upon God and lay my life and try to compare it with somebody else's life. I look out here today at each of you, and I'm honest with you, I don't see anybody out there that I'm better than. If I am, I don't know about it. But isn't it something how that our lives and our actions and our shortcomings, isn't it something how they almost seem to come, almost become virtuous? When we stack them up beside the rotten sins of someone else.
Should you kiss a butterfly?
People, as this young man was trying to make a comparison that he would look good. I want to tell you something, friend. A rose looks beautiful beside a dandelion flower.
But they both have a purpose. Now, don't ask me what dandelion flower has a purpose. I eat them.
But God knows. And every life has a purpose. And here was a man trying to compare himself with somebody else, trying to say, I'm a lot better than he is. I know we folks don't do that today. But I believe there was something about this Pharisee. I believe at this time he was very, very glad to have that tax collector there because that's the kind of comparison he had. I mean, you didn't see him compare himself with Jesus Christ, did you? You didn't see him compare himself with the prophets of old, did you? You didn't see him compare himself with Elijah and Moses.
Now he compares himself with a tax collector.
No wonder he was so thankful. God could see the outward difference. And at the same time as the Pharisee within himself is calling upon God and asking God for to give a personal self-examination of his life, how good that he is standing right over yonder,
is a tax collector. No etiquette whatsoever.
No great knowledge of how to pray. Not knowing even how to start. No opening line to get in touch with God. No great knowledge from education. He's stumbling around wondering how to get started with God, and all at once he just blurts it out, God,
be merciful to me, a sinner. What a prayer.
No greater prayer has ever been uttered upon the face of all of God's earth
from that liar and cheat that they called, that man called the tax collector.
The greatest words of eloquence, he said. The greatest words of power, he said. God have mercy. Do you notice that that tax collector, when he went to God, he didn't say to God, oh God, you heard it. You heard what he said about me. That's not true. That hurt God. You notice he didn't compare himself with anyone else? Did you notice he didn't go to God and make excuses and say to God, well, God, you know somebody has to be the tax collector. It might as well be me. Do you notice he didn't point out anybody else's life? Not even that self-righteous Pharisee that stood beside him. He never even talked to God about him. You know why? Because the concern was in his heart. He knew somehow he was wrong. He knew he needed forgiveness. And you know when he called, he didn't ask God for justice. He asked God for mercy. The Pharisee, as he prayed and he asked God, he was only asking God for what he felt. I'm sure that he just deserved. But the tax collector was praying that God wouldn't give him what he deserved. He was praying for mercy and help and loving kindness. Whew, I'm glad today God doesn't give me what I deserve. I'm glad that he loves me enough and shows his mercy and kindness. Even sometimes when I'm almost unlovable and despicable, he still shows that mercy. And we all must call on God every day, if it be in the temple of here or in our hearts or in our homes, we must call upon God for God to forgive us and have mercy upon us. Wonder why he said that. Be merciful. I almost say that every quarter. When I gotta reach in the billfold, then what is happening then? I almost cry out, have mercy. And just maybe, he might have heard those very words from the poor people whom he demanded taxes from. Just maybe, he heard them say to him sometime, please have some mercy. And now, he calls upon the mercy giver. And he says to God, have mercy on me. Yes. You know something? In this tax collector's religious ignorance, in his lack of knowledge concerning prayer, he was a great, much better theologian than this Pharisee who was a graduate school, trained a Pharisee. He didn't know what to ask, but he knew how to ask. You know, folks, I don't know if any one of you here have a need today, a person. I don't know. You and God know. But I'm going to say this, standing on the word of God, that if you have a need and you have come to God in sincerity, and you will call upon God in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, he said, ask, believe it, and it will be unto you. I'm not going to ask, then you'll never get it. You know what? I would venture to say that this tax collector felt well out of place. I mean, he was in a place where he had probably never been before, and an atmosphere he had never been in. But there was something about it, if you listen today. I believe he felt he knew where to go to find what he needed. I want to say to you today, if just a piece of plastic molded by man But there's a piece of plastic on the front of this building that points to the sky called the steeple. And there are many people in the world who see a steeple just like that, and they believe that in the confines of where it hangs or sits, that there is a place to find God. And they come there searching that their needs will be supplied. They must find it there. I believe that the tax collector somehow knew that God, he just wanted simple honesty. That's all God wants. He doesn't ask for, if any of you ever, when you got saved, you didn't go to God with a long list of every sin you committed, did you? You don't have to. God knows. God knows what it is. He's not concerned with what, how many. He's concerned that in simplicity we're honest and we say to God, I need help. This man said, I'm a sinner. I need help. Oh, God, have mercy on me, he said. There's something about when one is honest. If you come to God honest, you don't have to make excuses. And you definitely don't have to make comparisons. God loves you for who you are, not for how you stack up to someone else. We go to God and we go to prayer. And aren't you and I glad today that when God hears, he doesn't look for the one who has the longest list of spiritual achievements. I'll tell you what, folks, if he did, he'd never hear me. Might as well go home. Might as well not ever pray to God. But the Bible said that when God looks at man, he doesn't look on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God knows why we're coming to him. God knows what our need is before we ask. And God is able to supply. And so when we call upon God, we're hoping that he will accept our prayer in spite of our lack of achievement. I like what some of you folks say in your testimony. When you talk to God, you talk to him as a friend. He needs to be our friend. This tax collector was more honest than this Pharisee. And I want to close by saying this today. Maybe there's just a chance that to make ourselves look good, maybe we are forced to make a comparison. I'll believe that, preacher. Well, I'll just listen to my pennies. Maybe we're wanting to see how we stack up with God, and so we need a scapegoat. We need someone who we can kind of compare our life with. That's good. But if we really need that, let the measuring stick that we measure with be Jesus Christ. Do I hear a phone? Okay. I don't want to interrupt it. I don't want something to be happening to me. So when we are stacked up and compared with Jesus Christ our Lord, there's no comparison. We're outmatched. Well, I'm not saying we're bad. I'm not saying that. I believe that there are some of the greatest Christians ever lived, probably right here in this building. I would hope we all are. But I'm just saying that when we begin to compare our lives like Jesus as a measuring rod, you don't reach a foot. Neither do I. We just don't. There's one thing that we have, and only one. When it comes to us and our shortcoming, we have only one prayer. And that prayer was just like this tax collector's. God be merciful. be merciful because of my lack of spiritual attitude, because of my insincerity, because of my lack of devotion, because of the lack of dedication, because of the lack of responsibility, and on and on and on. We must pray that prayer, God, be merciful to me. Listen to these words that bless us. He said, I want to tell you something. That tax collector, that this Pharisee, has literally run to the Lord to walk on him, wiped his feet on him, and kicked him out. I want to tell you something about him. He is the one of the two that went home justified. He's the one that walked out of the temple receiving what he went for and more. He's the one that could go out the door and jump up and holler, God will. You know why? Because he was honest with God. Are you honest with God? I don't mean, do you try to be honest with God? And I don't mean, are you telling it the way you want to tell it? Are you honest with God? For when you're honest with God, we'll be honest with ourselves. When we're honest with God and ourselves, we'll come before His presence in humility. And in that humility, we will ask God for help, and He will help us. Aren't you glad, Sister Sandy? Or Melba, Brother Lynn, come with a verse of song. God expects from us, regardless of our age group. You know, there are many children of God who are saved from grace, and that is where it all stops. I mean, we confess we're saved, and we remember the time when we knelt, or we prayed, or we asked God to help. We remember Him saving us, but that's where it stops. We've not served God since. We haven't wanted to serve Him to do anything since. Our life is just as young spiritually as it was then. We've never grown, little folks. You can't stay, and I can't stay babies all of our lives. I've heard so many people say, I know what their problem is. They need to grow up. That's true spiritually. The majority of our problem spiritually is we have failed to go up, to grow up, I'm sorry. Maybe we have failed to come into the temple and get a hold of the mercy gift. Maybe we're just not concerned enough to want to grow. But I say to us today, you and I even today need to grow in the grace of knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are you honest with God? Are you honest with yourself? If not, before you leave, bring that honesty or dishonesty to the altar as we stand and sing.